Morning, everybody. As Adam said, my name is Jez. I can also identify with the language, the accent. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Brecon, and this lady came up to me and said, "Are you from Australia?" I was like, "Where did that come from?" I'm not going to tell you where I'm from. It's a little bit complicated, but just to say, my name is Jez, and I'm part of Cornerstone Church here. It's great to see so many visitors here this morning. Julian and Sarah are the lead pastors and the leaders of this church, and they lead the team, the elders team here, and they're away this week. So we wish them well. They're having a nice break. They deserve their break, so they would normally be here, and they'll be here next week. But just so you know, that's the context. And as a church, we're looking at love in action. We started a series about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and where we're looking at the letter of Romans. And as you know, the letter of Romans was written by Paul around about AD 57, 58, and sometime around there. And he was writing to the church in Rome. He hadn't been there yet. He was looking forward to going there, and we know that actually from the Bible. It tells us that he eventually gets to the church in Rome and he gets to be there. But at the moment, he's writing a letter. In the first 12 chapters, he's writing to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And it's a great theological book, and he talks a lot about the kingdom of God and what it meant when Jesus came and took away our sin and suffering when he died on the cross. And then he gets to this amazing part in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be looking over the next few weeks, and those of you that are new, you're kind of coming in the middle of this series, where we're looking at what it means to have love in action. Because what Paul talks about is that when he talks about this whole letter and the theology of the letter that he goes into, it builds up to how can we then use the gift and the love that God has shown us to show love to one another. And 2 weeks ago, Sarah started, she said, "Let your love be sincere." And last week with Julian, we looked at your love, you should bring peace, you should bring harmony to others. So this week, we're looking at honor. Honor one another. There's a little thing down here, I don't think you can see it so clearly. What does it mean to honor someone? Now, I don't know if you're like me, I was like, what does honor mean? What does that mean? Does it mean a knight in shining armor, brave, courageous, going out to fight battles? It's a little bit like me, really. So just kind of just so you know. Or do you think of someone like a judge who is your honor, you know, going to court and yes, your honor, no, your honor, and you have to do what the person who is the judge or the magistrate. What's your idea of an honor? And these are the verses that we're going to be looking at. It says this, love in action, how honor one another above yourselves. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So as we look at the text, as we look in Romans, these are the specific verses this week that we're looking at how to show love in action. And he gave a very good example of that, and he talked about that a little bit, and he talked a little bit about what it means to honor God. And we're going to look at that a bit later on. This is what he says in another version. He says, take delight in honoring each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Isn't that good? That's from the New Living Translation. This is what the message says. It says, practice playing second fiddle. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. And don't be the great somebody. I love the way the message kind of contextualizes it. It says, practice playing the second fiddle. I don't know if you know about an orchestra, but my limited understanding of an orchestra is that when you have a big orchestra and you have the conductor, the person that sits on the front left of the conductor is the first violinist, another word for a fiddle. And they're the leader of the orchestra. They're the one that has to, everybody looks to, the conductor will look to him or her, and that person then leads the orchestra as well. So when he says practice playing second fiddle, every other violin player is not that leading one. And what he's saying is there, practice not trying to be the number one. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a little bit of what he says about not being proud and not being conceited in a way that we can put that aside so we can identify some of the hindrances that stop us from honoring each other. And then we'll go on to look at honoring one another. Is that okay? Amen. Let's go on. So what are we looking at here? What does pride mean? Now, people don't go around saying, "I'm proud," do they? Generally, they don't. Often, people do go around saying he or she is proud. And the Bible tells us, the dictionary tells us that being proud has taking pleasure in your own achievements and having a high opinion of yourself. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing things and being successful and doing your best. But what proud is talking about is when you put yourself above others and you look down upon other people. Pride is when you're only interested in you and not in other people. Now, this is a problem that goes right back to the beginning of the Bible. When you look at what Adam and Eve were going through in the garden, God created Adam and created Eve, and he said, go forth and multiply, be fruitful. There is much you can take dominion over. He gave them the ability to rule and to reign. And then he says that in the cool of the day, God would walk with Adam and Eve. But when Satan came in the form of the snake and he came to tempt both Adam and Eve, when he said to them, did God really say that? What he was sowing was a seed of pride in there. Because what Adam and Eve then thought was, actually, God doesn't know best. God said, this is what you can do, just don't take the fruit from this tree. And when Adam and Eve took the fruit and were tempted, they were saying, God, we're disregarding that you know best. We think we know best. We're going to take the fruit. And sin came into the world. And sin, and then through sin came death and so on. And we know the story. So pride takes its root right back at the beginning of the Bible, right back at the story. So it's something that we all have to deal with and we all have to understand. But as we look at it, what I want to do is just highlight three very simple ways that sometimes we can become proud. Now, if these don't affect you, that's brilliant, because they affect me. And as I was preparing this, I was like, these are things that affect me. So the first one is this. One of the ways that we can be proud is to have an overly competitive nature. One of the ways that we can do that is often we can look at others and go, I want to be better than you. I want to do the best more than you. Now, there's nothing wrong with competition. You need to hear me correctly. There's nothing wrong with competition. But when our competitive nature becomes overly competitive, and we want to do better than someone else so that they get lower, so that they lose, so that they're not looking good and we look better, the root of that is pride. And I know that often we have to kind of stop ourselves from thinking that. As a Christian, even as a Christian sometimes, as someone in a relationship with Jesus, I look around at other people when I was younger and say, I want to be a better follower of Jesus than them. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying I want to be a better follower of Jesus. But the minute you put yourself above someone else and you want to do it and you want to denigrate them, then it becomes a problem. And one of the things that can be identified as pride is just having that overly competitive nature. You know, when it says about conceit, it said don't be conceited in the verse that we're looking at. Conceit means to be superior, to look to have what is called a condescending nature on other people. Now, maybe for you it's not a problem, but I think for me sometimes it's easy to fall into that. Sometimes the words I say can seem superior. They come from an attitude of superiority over someone. Sometimes I can say something that is a little bit rude. The manner and the tone of what I say is rude. And I had to check myself and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the pride that I exhibit sometimes. So that's an area sometimes that we have. Another one that we often would associate is when you're proud and it stops you from disclosing and being yourself to other people. And I'm going to call that insecurity. And the insecurity really is laid up in the fact that we don't trust other people. Now, when I'm saying this, I look around the room. This is not the Cornerstone way, okay? I'm just identifying them because in the scripture it's identifying them. And I'm trying to show you ways that it can come in and creep into our lives. But this is not what I see. And we'll get on to when we look at honor, we'll see that Cornerstone has a culture of honor. It does have a culture where we exhort other people. We look to make other people look good. And that's good. But sometimes we can be a little bit insecure and we don't show the real us, do we? Sometimes when you're at work or when you're at college, you don't want people to know the real you. And you're a little bit lacking of trust in other people that they can handle the real you. And we want to have relationships, don't we, where we can be ourselves. We can just be me and you can just be you. That's part of our relationships. That's how we're going to grow together. When we are open with one another and we allow each other to encourage each other and speak into each other's lives. So that's another area where sometimes we can fall into pride. And the third one, when I was preparing this, this really spoke to me because this is something I've even done this week. Pride shows itself when we are late. You know, this week I went to pick up my children from youth and I was 5 minutes late. And I can say, oh, there was bad driving, some I got stuck behind a slow driver, or there was bad weather, or whatever. But the root of being late really is, my time is more important than yours. And that's pride. The root of that is pride. And I know that for myself, I need to check myself and to check my diary and say, do I honor the youth leaders in this church by picking up my children late from youth? No, I expect them to look after and go 5 minutes over time. They say, what's 5 minutes? Well, it shows a lack of respect for that person's time. Let me tell you a story. In Uganda, there was, when I was in Uganda, working in Uganda, there was someone that I got to know, and it's this man here. And this man started off as a lecturer in the university, and then he rose up, and then he became a politician, and he eventually became the Prime Minister of Uganda. And when he was Prime Minister of Uganda, I had the pleasure of getting to know him a little bit. But he's very famous in East Africa. And one of the reasons he's very famous is that he's never, ever late. When he was a lecturer, he was never late. Now, those of you that are at college, some of you are at college, students are late, lecturers are late. It's part and parcel of being a student, isn't it? We just kind of rock up and roll in a few minutes late. Well, I used to do that anyway. Maybe this new generation is not like that. But this guy was never, ever late for a lecture. And we were hosting, the church that I was working with, we were hosting an event. And there was going to be about 4,000 people there. And we invited him to come and speak. He was going to be the guest of honor. So I went round his house and we were talking, and I'd been there a few times. And as I was coming up to the one before we were going to have the meeting, he said to me, right, what time do I need to be there? I said, well, it starts at 10 o'clock. He said, right, I'm going to be there at 9:15. I was like, what? I said, no, it starts at 10 o'clock. He said, I'm going to plan to be there 45 minutes early because the traffic in Kampala is bad. There's a lot of different things that can happen. I'm going to plan to be there 45 minutes early. Now, the good thing is that I knew him, and the people that we were working with, we knew him well enough. Because guess what? He arrived 45 minutes early. He came to an event where there were 4,000 people, and we had to take him on a little tour and deviate around and show him a few things because most of the people weren't even there yet because he'd arrived early. But he did it because he honors people. He wants people to know that he values them and their time. And I think for me, it just showed a good example of someone who punctuality honors someone else's time. Now, when we look at those things, you know, I don't want us to feel heavy and heavy-hearted because God loves us. And when we honor one another, God wants us to put aside the things. He says, don't be proud, don't be conceited. So we can come to Jesus, can't we? The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, it says this, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not equate equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, become obedient to the death, point of death, even death on a cross. We have in Jesus, in our relationship with Jesus, we have someone that we can come to and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for some of these things. We can say sorry. And Jesus said, I died to take away your sin. And this morning we can rejoice in the fact that we don't need to be proud. We don't need to be conceited because we can bring it to Jesus. We can say sorry. We can repent. And God, by his Spirit, comes and lives in us and helps us to become transformed more and more like Jesus, which is wonderful. So we don't need to be like that. When Paul was writing, he said, honor one another, but don't be proud, don't be conceited, and be willing to associate with people of a lower position. What he was saying, put those things aside. How do we put those things aside? We follow the example of Jesus. How do we put those things aside? We have a relationship with the King of Kings, as Craig was saying, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That God is also our personal Savior. He's someone that we're in relationship with, and he can take away those things. Isn't that great? And now we can focus on what it means to honor because we can put aside those things by saying, Lord, I'm sorry for those. Help me to get better with my time. Help me to value other people and to be open with people. Help me not to be overly competitive. Help me to honor one another. So what does it mean to look at and who are we called to honor? Well, it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. One of the roots of honoring others is to think of others more than we think of ourselves. It's to value others more than we value ourselves. So who do we honor? Well, first of all, we need to honor God, don't we? The person we need to honor the most is God. It says this in Psalms. Shout joyfully praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs. That everything includes us. Come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he performs for people. And there's just some verses there. And in Revelation, we know that from now until the end of time, which doesn't happen, and forever and ever, the angels and the elders, the 24 elders, they're all bowing down and worshiping and giving glory and honor to God. And we are part of that. And the Bible encourages us to honor God in everything that we do. Now, the Bible tells us that there are, even though we are to honor one another, we are to honor everybody, it does give some specifics, which is very interesting. For example, one of the things it says is, honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, honor God with your body. So there's a whole talk you can have about what it means to do good exercise, eat well, have a good balance of sleep and rest and work, and have and manage our life so that we honor the Lord in our bodies. It says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It tells us to honor God with our money. And there's a whole thing that we could go into there about how we honor the Lord with our money. And these are all different ways that we honor God, but ultimately we are honoring God. But who else does it tell us to honor? It does give some a few other people that we can honor. Here they are here. Fathers and mothers, honor your parents, it says, doesn't it? It's one of the commandments. And it says this is the first commandment that comes with a promise. And it's a little bit what Craig was talking about. He said it's very deep and he can't go into it. But what he was saying was that because of a lack of honor, because of a lack of faith, Jesus couldn't do some of the miracles that he wanted to do and he'd done in other towns. And this verse says, when you honor your parents, the Bible says that you may live long. There's a promise that comes with that. And so what the Bible is telling us is, as God is honored, and as heaven has a culture of honor in heaven, and then we say, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth. We want the kingdom and the reign and the rule of God to come on earth. As we honor our parents, there is a promise of God that comes through that. We're encouraged to honor those who are older. It talks about the gray head. Depends on what version you use. That's why I have a haircut, so you don't see all my gray hairs. But we're told to honor those with gray hair, the seniority, the people who are elder. This talk that Craig goes on to, he talks very much about how we in the church, we need to encourage a culture where we honor those who are mature, wise, have experience. You know, we live in a world, don't we, where more and more people are living longer, which is great. And we live in a world where there are a lot more older people. I think it's nearly like by 2015, 50% of the population will be over 60 or something like that, some figures like that. And the government is struggling with pensions and all these other issues. But in the church, we can set a standard of how we encourage and we honor and we cultivate an encouragement and an inclusive attitude to those who are more senior in years. And that's what the Bible encourages us to do. This is an interesting one. Employers and bosses. Ooh. Do I have to honor my boss at work? Now, some of you may have good bosses. Some of you may, those ones are probably slightly easier to honor. The ones that have not such good bosses, they're a little bit more difficult. But you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6, it says, honor your those in officials over you. Honor those who are in charge of you. And how we behave, does that mean we gossip? No, we don't. Does that mean we backbite? No, we don't. Honor, and what does that mean? And we'll look at that in a minute. Who else are we told to honor? We're told to honor our government. In 1 Peter 2, verse 17, it mentions the king. You can translate that word for the queen. But it told to honor our government. How do you do that when you don't agree with their policies? How do you do that when they're doing things that you don't agree with? One of the ways we can do that is we can support people like Dan who are working within the political world to promote the Coalition for Marriage and some of those things. That's the way that we can honor God by we do it in the proper way. We support those who are working with those people to help some of those policies to be more godly and so on. But there are different ways that we can do that. Church elders. And this is where we come back to Cornerstone. Cornerstone is a church of culture of honor. People do honor. How do you honor your leaders? I'll give you an example how you honor your leaders. When the leaders say, we're hosting the Willow Conference, who wants to volunteer? People volunteer. That's honor. When the leaders say, this is the vision, are you with us? People go, yes, we're with you. And we are so blessed to have Sarah and Julian and Adam and Suzanne as our elders and leaders of this church. And as a church, you are people that honor your leaders by supporting and encouraging them. You know, as I've travelled throughout Wales, I've been really, really struck by how highly esteemed Sarah and Julian really are, not just in this church. They are so highly esteemed by other leaders in the nation. Isn't that great? And there are leaders. And they've got a strong team. And so this is a church where we do honor our leaders. And I think that this is a great example of what it says there, to honor the church elders and to honor them who are leading you in the church. It says there as well, the vulnerable. It's really interesting, isn't it? That actually specifically speaks in 1 Corinthians 12 to those who are vulnerable in our midst. And it says you need to cover them more. You need to protect them. Now, all of us go through times of vulnerability. All of us go through times where we're having a bit of a tough time. Maybe there's some things going in our family or at work, or maybe we've lost our jobs. There's a whole host of situations where we can be vulnerable. And the Bible tells us, actually, that's when the church should come around you more and cover you more and look after you more and care for you more and love you more, rather than actually, so to support those people. And again, I see that in this church and amongst you, the people that I'm looking at. It also talks about honoring marriage. Remember last week, Julian said, in this church, they won't marry you in this church unless you allowed yourself to go through the preparation for marriage classes. Because we value marriage so importantly. The Bible tells us to value marriage so much that we believe you need to prepare for it and to put some thought and to go through some issues so that you can build a good marriage and have a good foundation in your marriage. So these are all things that we are encouraged to honor. So what does honor teach us? Well, honor, as I said, honor brings about the promises of God. Honor is a way that it can reflect the way we treat people. It reflects the way that God treats them. You know, to honor someone is to highly esteem them, to respect them, to value them, to cherish them, to revere them, to treat them specially. All of these ways are different ways that we can describe honor. In the story that he was talking about, that Craig was talking about, where Jesus, we know that story where in Matthew, Jesus tried to do miracles, but because of a lack of honor, the Bible wouldn't say it unless it meant something. And what he was trying to say was the people didn't respect Jesus enough. They didn't respect who he was from God. And in this church and in our lives, we need to continue to make sure that Jesus sits in the throne of our lives. He has the center place. Because, I mean, we can't do anything. I can't remember the last time I tried to make a mountain move or whatever. I mean, the Bible says by faith you can do that. But it's God. God does everything. And Jesus did everything when he died for us on the cross. And he's our Lord and he's our Savior. And so because of that, we have to give him his rightful place in our lives. So what does it mean then to honor? And actually, let me point out one thing. In John 14, Jesus said, not only will you go and do the things that I do, but you'll do even greater things than I do. That's what Jesus said. He said, you will do greater things. When I go back to the Father and I send the Spirit, you will do even greater things than me. And Jesus lived a life of honor. He hung out with all different types of people. He honored everybody wherever they went. The way he treated people, the way he spoke to people, showed this love in action that we're looking at. So, how do we show honor to each other? How do we do that? Well, let me just give you a little story. One time when I was in Uganda, I was working with a church. And one of the things we had to do was we oversaw churches that were planted. And churches that were planted, and also partners from another country that maybe wanted to work with those churches. And me and another pastor, we were doing this together. And one time we decided to take a trip, and we were going to visit a church plant of a church plant. So the church that I was working in, Garba Community Church, had planted a church in a major town in the West about 6 or 7 years before. And that church had been planting churches like they do. And so we were going to visit one of those churches. We'd heard a lot of good things about it. And what we were going to do was this. We'd got a partner in Canada who said, I want to work with that church and I'm willing to maybe buy a piece of land and build a building for them. So we were just going to check it out. So what we'd arranged was that me and this friend of mine who I worked with, we would travel there, meet the church leader, maybe meet some of his leadership team, look at the site, have a look at where they were worshipping and see if it was a place where we could help them a bit further. So we thought we'd meet in a couple of people. So we got in the car. Now, just to kind of cut a long story short, it took a while to get there. It took about 7.5, 8 hours of driving. And I was driving all the way. So we were driving all the way through. We started early in the morning and we drove and drove. And of course, you know, it wasn't a major town. It was a fairly smaller town. So the roads were beginning to get a little bit not so good. And as we got into the town, some of the people I was with, when the pastor that I was with, he began to notice something. Now, I wasn't really in the culture to notice this. But he noticed there were little branches kind of tied to lampposts and little posts. And there were little flowers. And we're like, I didn't think anything of it. And he was going, oh no. And I was like, what does that mean? And as we drove a bit further, nearer the destination where we were going, I realized what the oh no meant. It meant this. Let's watch and find out.
We've just arrived and this is the reception.
Can you believe that? We thought we were just going to have a quick meeting about looking at a piece of land and thinking, talking about a building. And this whole town, literally, when we drove up, people were running out of the shops to come and greet us. Because normally white people don't go to that kind of area. It's quite deep into the country. And not only that, they actually gave me a gift. And I've brought it with me this morning. Look at this. This is what they presented me with. Isn't that amazing? It's even got my name on it. Look, Jez. Isn't that amazing? I feel like Moses. But they didn't know me. I'd never met them before. But they had heard as a church that some people were coming from the capital city and they wanted to honour us. And they wanted to celebrate us. And we just wanted to go and do some paperwork and then go home. Now, for me, it was just, I'm glad I was able to catch it on movie because it's quite a special moment. I mean, we didn't deserve it. And it was very humbling. But actually, they made us feel very, very special. When they present you with gifts and other things, it makes you feel very special. So how do we honour one another? Well, the first way is this. It says that another version is prefer others over yourselves. One of the ways that we can honour each other is to prefer other people over ourselves. Now, it sounds really simple, and it is simple. We want the best for others more than we want for ourselves. And again, Jesus said, going back to that same verse we looked at, do nothing from selfish ambition, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. One of the ways that we can honor one another, and I believe you are already doing, so we're just encouraging you to do more, is to prefer one another over yourself. Sometimes that's going to mean making sacrifices. Sometimes it means you're flexible. Sometimes you have to be a little bit adaptable with your time. But I see that in you. I see that in a church here, people where we promote one another, we encourage one another. Adam was talking this morning about how in Strictly Come Dancing, you know, whatever they're doing, all walks of life, they're encouraged to have a go. And that's what happens in this church. This church has a very strong culture of honor. It has a very strong emphasis on honoring one another. And whatever your gifts and whatever your skills, everybody plays a part. There is a place for everyone. Isn't that great that we can be a part of that? I think it's great because it means we can just be ourselves and there's always a place for ourselves. And we're in a group of people that want the best in you. Rather than wanting for the best for themselves, they want the best in you and they want the best for you. One of the ways that we can, example of that is, if you remember back to the Olympics, before the Olympics, we had the Tour de France. And in the Tour de France, Mark Cavendish is one of the cyclists for Great Britain. And he's a sprint guy. What normally happens is at the end of the race, about 300, 400, 500 meters before the end, he'll sprint through and win the race. And during this year's Tour de France, he was looking to become the best sprinter of all time. Now, he was part of a team. And this is what brings it out for me. So on the second race, he won that race. He won that race on the second day. They have like 21 days of cycling, if you know the Tour de France. And on the second day, he won the race. That means he was one race away from being part one of the best and having the most number of recorded wins. So 2 days later, he was in a position to do it again. And as he got nearly time to sprint, because there's a whole bunch of people, there was a big pileup. And they all kind of fell over and he fell over and nothing happened. And he didn't win. And he was ended up on a heap on the floor. Now, what's really, really interesting, and this happened, and I don't know if you know about it, for the rest of the races, he put aside his desire to want to be the best. And sometimes you saw him grabbing water bottles from the cars that were supporting and going giving them to people on his team. And he was riding back and forth. I mean, normally when you've got like 200 miles or whatever to do, you're going to ride in one direction. But he was riding back and forth, getting water bottles, giving them to his team. There were times when he needed to take over for the team because he realized he put aside his own desires. He preferred others and he wanted the best for his team. There was a member of his team called Bradley Wiggins who we know went on to win. Now, at the very end, about 3 days, I think it was, 3 days before the end of the race, his team said, we need to honor the way he's been honoring us. And they set it up and they rode together so that 3 days before the end, he could win that race, that particular day's race. And he won that day. And he became the joint most successful sprinter of all time. But they didn't just stop there. On the very last day, they did it again and worked together as a team. Bradley Wiggins has already won the overall title. They worked together as a team so that he could win the very final day's race and become the greatest sprinter of all time. And for me, it's just a great example that as he put aside his own desires and preferred others, so other people in the team at another time did the same for him. And so instead of wanting the best and you're always grabbing, you know, when you're proud and you're selfish and you're grabbing for yourself all the time, when he was giving away and serving and preferring others, actually he benefited as well. Isn't that a great example? So that's one of the ways that we can honor one another. Another way that we can do it is we serve one another. You know, we're going to hear this word, I think, a lot as we talk about love in action. Because one of the greatest ways that we can show love in action is to serve each other. And this word will occur a lot. But there are two things, I think, that happen when we do this. When we serve other people, and there's a verse there from Jesus, says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So Jesus is our example. When we serve one another, we put other people in a position to be blessed by God. When we serve each other, in whatever way that might mean, I'll give you an example. Okay? Simon and Suzanne recently had a baby. How do we serve Simon and Suzanne when they just had a baby? One of the ways it happens that I hear about and I know happened was that different people made meals for them and went around and gave them a meal. Isn't that honor? Isn't that great? That's what you do. You're doing that. I'm looking at the people who did that. And there is lots of different ways that we as a church honor one another by serving each other. When you come in on a morning, on a Sunday morning, people have made the coffee, people have put the chairs out, the media has been prepared, the Sunday school staff have all got everything ready so their children can have a great time. When we walk out later, there'll be a team who put the chairs away, who clean the building. We are in a culture of serving. And as we serve each other, we create an opportunity for those people to be blessed. We're blessed, aren't we? We're blessed that we come in and everything is ready. We're blessed because we can come straight in and we're glad that the musicians have practiced. They've served us by practicing. And as they lead us, we can enter into worship because they've practiced and we get blessed from that. But the other thing that's really interesting is that as we serve others and they are blessed, the way that God works is that God said, I will bless you to be a blessing. So as we serve one another, and they get blessed, because of the way God works, we will ultimately also get blessed. Do you see how it works? Now, that's not the reason we do it, okay? That's not the fundamental reason. We want to honor one another. We want to serve each other. But when we serve one another, God blesses them, and then through them blesses us. Now, how do we see that? David and Saul, if you remember the story of David, just after he killed Goliath, and he was welcomed into the house of Saul the king, back in the Old Testament. And one of his gifts that David had was to play the harp. And Saul, it says in the Bible that Saul would often get into moods or have difficult times or, you know, go into mood swings or whatever. And David would play the harp to soothe him. And he would do that as a way of serving Saul. Now, how was Saul grateful? Do you think he gave him some medals? Do you think he gave him some armor? Do you think he gave him some wives? No, he threw spears at him. Now, that's pretty difficult to understand, isn't it? Let's be honest. And I know that if I was attacked when I was serving someone, I probably wouldn't serve that person anymore. But David continued to do it. And David knew that he needed to honor the man that God had anointed. And as you go on in the story, even though Saul was against him, David refers to Saul as, I am your servant. He continually calls himself the servant of the king. And even when the king goes into the cave and David has the opportunity to kill him, and his men are saying, you know, take his life. And he cuts his robe and he just gets a little piece of cloth and then Saul walks out. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, the conscience of David was so wrought that he ran after him and said, look, I'm sorry, I cut your coat. I'm sorry. Because he was so overcome that he'd even done anything to harm the king's anointed. And he continued to serve Saul, even though Saul didn't deserve it. Even though Saul didn't say thank you, even though Saul tried to kill him, David showed us that when he honored the man that God had put there, he served him regardless of the way that Saul responded. That's a great way to honor one another. Another way that we can do it is to value one another. How do we value each other? Well, we give each other time. We listen to one another. You know, in our busy lives, are we focused on what we need to do? Or are we focused on the people that are going to be interacting with us on a daily basis? We allow interruptions in our lives for the needs of each other. That's a way that we can value each other. If we say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm too busy to help. But that's not something, again, in this church. This church is full of people that value each other by allowing interruptions in your life. That is so powerful. We value each other. We value the diversity that we have in this room. As I look in this room, we're all different, aren't we? We're not all the same. We're all so totally different. And we value the differences in each other. And we value who we are. And when we honor people, we build them up and we value them and we build them up and we want the best for them. Rather than when we dishonor them, we bring them down. And we're not a church. We allow negative things about each other. People don't say negative things about each other, which is great. We encourage each other. How many times when you do something, do you get a little text from someone saying, thank you, well done? It's a culture in our church where we honor and we value the contribution that each of us makes in what we do. Let's see another little thing that shows how we value each other in this church.
At Little Rascals, I can show God's love to others in a very practical way. And that's the sort of love I enjoy showing, really, very practically. And everybody really does appreciate it.
Thank you, Sandra. But what is Little Rascals? It's not just the mums and toddlers group. You can have a mums and toddlers group. But Cornerstone believes that we value little children and we want to provide a place where little children can come in a safe environment and climb through things and play on the ground, have stories and songs and games and craft. We value parents because we realise that bringing up children, particularly little children, is hard. It's not easy. It's tiring. And we value mothers and families. And we say, come and have a time where you can have your children running around in a safe environment. They're protected. They're looked after. But you can just sit down and chat with some other people as well and just relax for a little while. We have people in the church who have been through that period in their lives. And they've had children of their own or maybe even grandchildren. And you saw them in the photo there. And they're the people who serve and they value because they know what it's like. And when you saw Iwin and Mary and Sandra, they're not just making tea. They're part of Little Rascals. They come and they sit with the mothers and they talk with them and they share with them. Why? Because they've been there. They know what it's like. They value them and they show mutual value for one another. And that's just one little example. And that's going on every week in this church. Isn't that exciting? We're a church of honor and where we honor one another. And the last thing is this, humility. There's a story where Jesus was talking in Luke chapter 14, and he told the story, and I'm going to finish. He told the story where someone has an invitation, and they send out an invitation, and people come, and they take the best places, and they take the best seats. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, I'll just get there quickly, says this. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite... Oh, sorry. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And what Jesus is saying there is don't try and take the best for yourself, but show humility. Want the best for others. Well, what is humility? What does humility mean? It means to have a modest opinion of your own importance. And it goes alongside honor, and it goes against pride. And so we put pride away, and we have a humble attitude, and we show humility to others. And William Temple said this, humility does not mean thinking less of yourself than other people, nor does it mean having a low opinion of your own gifts. It means freedom from thinking about yourself at all. And that's a lovely little demonstration that we don't need to think about ourselves. If we are in a place where we honor one another and we are honored ourselves, we're in a culture where people honor one another, they show love in action, they prefer one another, we serve one another, we value each other, then when we show humility towards one another, we don't need to worry about what people think because we're accepted for who we are. We're accepted for who we are. So this morning, there's been a lot of different things that we can think about. And just as we close, Just these three things here. When we honour one another, we see others in reference to who they are in God. Why do we value each other? Because God values us. God values each one of us. Jesus died for every single one of us. For those that know about it and even those that don't. That's why as a church we put on a lot of activities to tell others about Jesus. We want people to encounter Jesus. We want people to be introduced to Jesus. Why? Because we know that Jesus died for them and he values them. And we want to show them that there is someone who loves them and can save them and set them free from sickness and sin and give them a hope and a future. We're all valuable to God. And when we honour one another, because Jesus and God told us to, we ultimately are honouring God. So this week, as we think about it, I know that for myself, there are definitely things that I need to improve. Like I said, my timekeeping. I need to improve my own issues where my overly competitive nature. I need to submit those to God. Maybe we'll do that now. Let's just pray together. And what we're going to do is we'll just allow some moments of quiet where you allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to you some of those things in your own life where you say, God, I'm not doing so well on that issue. Sometimes I display a pride that needs to be changed. And I want the working of your Holy Spirit to do that inner change in me so there is a lasting fruit in the way that I live. Maybe there are some ways where you can just be encouraged that we are in a place where we honour one another. We can say thank you for our leaders. Thank you for this church that has a huge culture of showing love in action in the way that we honour one another. Maybe there's some ways where you think, you know, I've got a bit of time, I can help. I can speak to Adam and how can I help serve a bit more than I do? What can I do to encourage or value some of the people that I'm around? What can I do to encourage the leaders? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you gave up the highest place of honour to die for us. You came to earth. You valued and honoured and loved people. You showed us the best example. Then you died for us and set us free from the sin that so easily entangles. And then you took your place where you will forever be exalted and honoured. And Lord, we want to honour you this morning. We want to say thank you for saving us. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for encouraging us to live in a culture, in a manner, in a way where we honour one another. Thank you for all the ways that the people in this church already do that. Thank you, Lord, that we're already doing it. Help us to be spurred on. Help us to be good at honouring each other, valuing one another, giving time to each other, listening to each other, preferring others over ourselves, serving one another. Lord, this week, help us to do that so that we demonstrate you to others, so that we model the way you love us to other people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.